realize that we need to be in your presence. And God, the Spirit of God within us, I know wants that longing or wants that time. And Father, I pray as we sing this that it becomes more familiar. It doesn't become just a song, but it becomes a way of life. God, we just thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And Father, for the privilege we have to come to the throne of grace. Lord, we just thank you for that in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. And hopefully that becomes a song that is more familiar to you if you haven't heard it or don't know it. My suggestion is get on YouTube and hunt it up and play it all day. Sing it all day as you go out your day, and then you'll help us sing it. Yes, it's a lot longer on YouTube. Yeah, we have asked Sue to make sure we take some of the repeats and all the other stuff out. So she does good at that. But tonight as we get in our study, going back to Romans chapter 11, this is probably one of the most interesting, I think, text that deals with Israel and Gentiles. We've been looking at chapter 10 and chapter 11, and in those chapters, Paul is explaining the sovereignty of God, which everybody agrees with. And it's interesting how you talk to any Christians, and everybody believes in the sovereignty of God and how they're able to, they know that God is in control of everything, God has planned everything, everything is going according, until it comes to the realms of salvation. When it comes to the realm of election, it comes to the realm of salvation, it comes to the realm of all that is in part with that, we look at that and we say, you know, as we see that and as we understand that, for some reason, that's the only thing we struggle with, God's sovereignty. And so we need to realize that in God's sovereignty, he made choices. And in God's sovereignty, he makes sure before the foundation of the world. And I mentioned before that you cannot take out God's omniscience when you talk about salvation. God knew from the beginning of the world, before the foundation of the world, he knew who was going to accept him, who was going to reject him. He knew he was going to choose the nation of Israel. And so in that, we realize, and some have come to the belief that we have replaced Israel, which is absolutely wrong. We are not Israel. We haven't replaced Israel. We are grafted in. And we saw that last week in the mid part of chapter 11, how we are grafted into that fact in 17 through 21, where Paul says in verse 17 in chapter 11, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou be a wild olive tree, was grafted in among them, and with the partakest of the root of the fatness of the olive tree." And what he's saying there is that there are the Jews, the nation of Israel, there are some, and it's listed there as the branches be broken off. And I want you to think about that for a minute, because it goes back to John chapter 15. Where he will prune the branches and he will trim the branches. He will cut the branch off. And that's correlated with you and I living our life for God. There are some, if we're not bearing fruit, and then it goes on to say fruit, and then more fruit, and then much fruit. God expects you and I to continue our spiritual life, gaining more and more faithfulness, more and more obedience, so that we are bearing fruit for him. And if somebody is saved and they are rejecting, they don't want any, you know, they just got the fire insurance. All they did was accept Christ to get out of hell. And, you know, the thing of that is that God has every right to say, well, you know, if that's all you think about what I did for you, you're coming home. And they go home. God is the sustainer of life and death. He holds every one of our heartbeats in his hand. He gave us the life, and he will take the life. He's God. He has that privilege. But we don't agree with that, do we? We don't like that when those that we know go before us. You know, we have this issue with how God, how could you? And but yet, it all fits into what I think Paul is teaching here to the Gentiles. And what we saw as we studied through this is that the Gentiles were grafted in. It was God's choice to allow those nation of Israel who hardened themselves or were stubborn, stiff-necked, scripture calls them. They were stubborn in their belief of what God was trying to give them. And that is the righteous gift of Christ. They still wanted to do the sacrifice. They still wanted to do it their way. And God said, no, that's not the new system. So therefore, I'm going to set you aside, Israel, and I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what Paul has been teaching through these mid chapter 10 and verse, or and also chapter 11. But we're going to jump in verse 25 today, because verse 25 starts a section that talks about Israel's salvation. So let's look at this. I think it's very interesting as we tear this apart a little bit, because what Paul is saying in verse 25, let's read it and then we're going to pick it apart. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of the mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, then that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And in that, another way to understand it is basically, lest you be wise in your own sight. Paul said, I don't want you to be aware of the mystery. I don't want you to understand what God is doing. And as he says that, basically it's a partial blinding. Israel is experiencing a partial blinding because of the hardness. And again, in the Greek there, it's not so much, the Greek word here is not used for Pharaoh when Pharaoh hardened his heart. This Greek word has a connotation to is their stubbornness. Their refusal to change. Ain't none of you like that, right? We all like change. We don't refuse to change nothing, do we? Be careful with that. Here, it has an unbelievable meaning to it. But when Paul says here about not them being ignorant of the mystery, what he's saying is the partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God in his wisdom said, I'm going to set Israel aside. And when I set them aside, I'm now going to go to the Gentiles. And we know that we are grafted in, as the scripture said in verse 17 of chapter 11, when the branches of the Israel that rejected Christ were broke off, then Gentiles were put in to that olive. And if a Gentile was grafted in, then he too will enjoy the fat of the olive tree. And so that means you and I have all the privileges. You and I have all of God we will ever need. And so to you and I, that's like normal, right? But remember the letter going to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And that was not what they believed, because the Jews were the righteous ones. The Jews were the chosen ones. Only the Jews were going to get the best that God had. God says, no, that's not the way I have chosen to do it. So when we see this, I think it's very important as Paul continues to explain this. But then he goes on in verse 26 says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Now this is quite interesting. He's reading from Isaiah 59:20, but or at least he's quoting Isaiah 59:20. But what he's saying is, you know, I'm going to try to picture this in a way that I had to really think through it to get it, because when you think, when he says that all Israel shall be saved, you would think that means every Israelite or every Jew alive at that moment will be saved. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying that every person, he's saying all of Israel. So what is all of Israel? How would you define all of Israel? Okay, the country, the country was made up of what? Tribes. How many? 12 tribes. Is there somewhere in Scripture where it talks about 12 tribes, 12,000 from every tribe, 144,000? And where does it talk about that? Revelations, and it talks about them going into the millennial reign. All of Israel will be saved. Members of every tribe. Doesn't mean every person. That's like saying that God's cross saved every human ever born. Well, it could, but it's not going to. And not because God's wasn't big enough, but it's because of the stubbornness, the hardness, is because of the heart of man. The same thing happened to the nation of Israel. So when the nation of Israel, and Paul says that they shall be saved, they will come out of Zion and deliver again, speaking out of Isaiah 59:20, who shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob is an intertwined word used for the nation of Israel. Why? Why when you see Jacob, you could say nation of Israel? Jacob was Israel, but he was also the what? The father of the 12 men that were listed to the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jacob was the father of the nation, or the father of the men who then became labeled the nation of Israel. So that name goes back and forth. Jacob and Israel, or nation of Israel, go hand in hand. So when we see that, and we work through that, again, what he's saying, all Israel will be saved, that is, it is written again, as he states there in Isaiah. But when he goes into verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. Again, reading from Isaiah 27:9. So what Paul is saying is there's going to come a time where God is going to remove the ungodliness and he's going to take away the sins of Israel. When do you think that's going to happen? We already mentioned it. The millennial kingdom, when the 144 go into the millennial kingdom. Now, when we also know that when Satan is loosed at the end of that, then God will allow Satan again to gather an army, one more battle, and then it's all done. But we need to understand, especially in the time we live in, because again, that does not mean that every Jew other than the 144,000 are going to be saved. Because Paul also taught that there will be a remnant of Jews that have been saved by the grace of God. They believed in the grace of God. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. Doesn't matter how far you are from God. When you come to God, you're saved. Paul was one of the examples. He was a Jew, and he was saved by grace. Many of them are saved by grace. So it's not just 144,000, but those remnant that God talks about through the word and Paul teaches. And so the covenant, he's going to make a covenant with them and they will take away their sins. So God is going to do what God wants to do, isn't he? But see, you and I are not going to be, well, we're not going to be a part of that. Because why? Because we have already been in heaven. We are already, when all of the Gentiles are full. That phrase, I'm going to just go back and hit that again. In verse 25, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Until all of the Gentiles that God knew and those who will accept him are accepting in him. Until they all come in to the family of God, until they all come in, that's not going to happen. So we're not setting a time for the rapture, because I believe after the rapture there is no second chance salvation. I do not believe in a second chance salvation. I do believe there'll be some saved out of the tribulation time, because some of them have never heard the gospel. And if some of them have never heard the gospel, that also says that everyone don't need to hear the gospel before Christ return. Because I've heard it said before in the mission, well, we got missionaries. We got to get them out there. And when everybody hears, then Christ is going to return. Well, wait a minute. Maybe not. Because you got to go to the logical conclusion of what you believe. If you believe that to be true, everyone has heard prior to Christ's return, then you have to believe in a second chance salvation, because there are some saved in the tribulation time. And boy, that's a fun thing. I heard the gospel message, but that means I'm going to have to sacrifice so many things I like to do in my life, and I'm going to live like the world. I'll just live like the world, and I'll wait till after the rapture happens, and I'll accept Christ. Does that sound right? Not even close. But that's what the logical conclusion goes to. If you think everyone must hear before the rapture, then there'll be a second chance salvation. I do not believe that. thus far in my studies, I always give a little room for wiggle room, thus far in my studies, because I think it's very clear in what Paul is saying here. When the fullness of Gentiles come in, when those who are going to come in, then things are going to happen. But that doesn't mean everybody has to hear. There's a group of people that God, before the foundations of the world, knows are going to accept him prior to the rapture. And when that last person bows on their knees and accepts Christ, the trumpet's going to sound. That ought to stir you up to go out and witness, because, boy, I tell you what, man, I want everybody to get saved because I want that last one to do it, you know? Or I'll go. That'd be great. The last one to get saved. But there are going to be others saved through the tribulation time. So understanding that a little bit, and again, it's pulling it all together. Paul's being very clear, again, talking to the Gentiles, because he pulled them out among the group, as we saw at the end of our study last week. As he continues to teach this, again, that's an important part of it, and it's also an important part to realize that as he's quoting through Isaiah, there's going to be a covenant that God's going to make, going to take away their sins. It's going to take away the ungodliness from Jacob, from the Israel, or from the nation. Verse 28 says, "And concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved as for the Father's sake." And basically, when you look at that, the gospel message, they're rejecting it. For the gospel message, you're going to get persecuted, Paul's saying. For the gospel message, they're not going to agree with you. But for the election, and again, we get this word everybody's afraid of. You don't have to be afraid of the election, because God knew in his omniscience who would accept them and reject them. As we go through life, we have that option of salvation given to us, and we accept them. And God was right. God knew that I would accept him when I was presented the opportunity, and I accepted him, and God, that made God right. Is God ever wrong? I hope not. I believe he's never wrong. So if you're saved here today, God knew that before the foundations of the world. And he has a group of people. He just happened to call them the elect. He has a group of people. It's amazing. I heard it said this one. When we all get into heaven and we walk through the gates, we'll turn around and we'll see on the inside of the pearly gates will be the word election. Not on the outside, but on the inside. Because that group of people that God knew are going to be there. And to me, that's phenomenal, because God in his wisdom and omniscience have made that possible. And again, takes the blinders off in 2 Corinthians 4. He allows us to understand. Paul's saying, in this whole, the mystery, salvation of Israel, you're not going to understand it. We don't want you to understand it now, because right now, as according to verse 28, concerning the gospel, they're enemies. But according to those who will be saved, then basically, or the election, it's they are the beloved Father's sake. Verse 29, "For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." And he's still speaking to the Gentiles. He's saying, and just go through the church history. There are people in the Old Testament who were not of the nation of Israel, who I believe were held into the remnant of those saved. And you think of different individuals who had the fear of Israel's God, and they wanted to listen to Israel because of the fear of their God, and God would bring them in. And we think of the harlot on the wall that held the two spies. Basically, she came down with them, and she went in, and she married into the Israelite tribe. And so there are Gentiles, but the nation of Israel was basically given that right. Now he's saying that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, for as in the time past, you did not believe in God, Gentiles. You did not believe in God. And we can say that true about you and I. In times past, before we were saved, you didn't believe in God. But now, finishing that verse, 30, "But yet, God yet have now obtained mercy through whose unbelief?" Through the unbelief of Israel. They did not believe that Messiah was. They did not believe in the God. They rejected him, their stubbornness, and God set them aside, cut them off, put us in place, And when the last Gentile that God knows is going to accept him, accepts him, then I believe we're going to hear the trumpets. I believe we'll see it done and going into the tribulation time. And then some will be saved from the tribulation time. So important as we pull that together, because Paul, I think, is beginning to share again the reasons why. I think there were skeptics on both sides of the Jews and also with the Gentiles. It goes on in verse 31, even so have they also now not believed that through your mercy they may obtain mercy, for God hath concluded them in all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And then he goes into verse 33 and following, and it's a glory to God and a praise. He ends with a praise to God for what he is doing and how he is working and how he is allowing his message to go on into the Gentile world. It's very clear through this passages of scripture in chapter 10 and 11 that God has dealt separately with Israel and with the Gentiles. And when the last Gentile is saved, he then is going to go back and deal with Israel. And they are going to go through a very, very hard life. They're going to go through the bowls of judgment, the wrath of God. Romans 8:1 says that we are not part of that condemnation. We are not part of that wrath of God. Why? Because the group of Gentiles listed here are going to be gone. And God is going to go back and deal with Israel. And as he deals with Israel, all of Israel will be saved as the 144,000 walk in. And I thought through this, and I thought, well, that, you know, Satan's going to be loosed. I mean, all the sin is out of Jacob. All the ungodliness is gone. And God's going to make a covenant with them. And then Satan's loosed again. And so in a perfect utopia, in a perfect world, God is on the throne running and ruling and reigning. You and I, according to scriptures, have come down to rule and reign with him. And, you know, I say this carefully. Some people put way too much power in angels. Angels are nothing, because we are going to rule over them during that time. So don't put all your strength in an angel. Put it into God. And so we're going to be ruling and reigning with him, and he's going to be dealing with Israel, and we can walk through this time, and Satan's going to be loose, so there's going to be one more battle, all done. Then you have John saying in end of Revelation, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Who's going to live on the new earth? Who's going to live in the new heaven? I'll have to wait to get there. Because let's stop there for a moment, because scripture doesn't tell us, but we can at least maybe have an educated guess. Maybe that's when you have Israel, or you have us living on earth the way God first intended back in the garden. Because then everybody will have their glorified body. Then nobody will have a sinful nature. Then nobody will have sin among their lives. And maybe the earth then will be full with you and I, church, saints, Gentiles, and Israel, worshiping God together as it was supposed to be from the Garden of Eden. That's a good thought, right? I can't prove it, but it sounds good. I just think that is a scenario that, because we are going to be ruling and reigning. Is Israel today? Right. The temple has not been built, but they are gathering up. They are planning on rebuilding the temple, and they have all intentions of going back to the sacrificial system. That happens during the years of peace in the tribulation time. So I'm not sure we'll be present for that, but they will go back to that system. And right now, they're still waiting on God, the Messiah. They go to the Wailing Wall, the prayer wall. But Solomon, the wall, the temple, once it was destroyed by Babylon, has never been rebuilt. when they rebuild it, they're going to rebuild it as going back as they once were to worshiping and doing sacrifices. And I think that's when God's then going to say, you know what, there's a new covenant, and he's going to take away the sinless or sin and the ungodliness from the nation. So right now, they're still being dealt with. They're still just like in Christ, first part of the church age. They're still just not accepting and not knowing. But yet, there are many Jews being saved today. And that's a great thing. There are many Jews understanding the gospel message. And that remnant that Paul talks about in those two chapters is part of them, people even today. So that remnant, there will be Jews and Gentiles in that remnant of the fulfilling of the Gentile. Yeah, I mean, God's grace is sufficient for all and anyone. And that's what the Bible says. You know, those who come to him will be saved. Jew, Gentile, nationality, doesn't matter. And that's why we make the statement that, you know, we all bleed red. You know, all lives matter. We all bleed red. God died for everybody. And so that grace is given. And that's the important part. But as this pans out and as this works out, we can't put dates to it. We can't put time frames to it. We just know that these events are going to happen. And so I guess the best thing to for you and I to do is be out there witnessing like we're supposed to be. And one day that last person that God said is going to be saved is going to be saved, and we'll hear that trumpet and we'll be gone. And that'd be great. That would be great. But at the same time, as we are not there yet, we also have to be thinking about every day, I'm going to stand before God and answer for that. I'm going to stand before God and answer for that move, that thought, that process, that attitude. I'm going to answer for that. So that's how we need to live our days up until that point. Any other questions? Or don't want to throw anything in on that? All right, clear as mud. Good. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this study tonight. And God, it's one of those studies that you really need to pull all aspects in of some of the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we as humans, we can think through things, we can pull some things together, but God, all of this is so far beyond our understanding. All we need to know is that we are saved and we are part of your family and we are a part of that remnant. And God, until then, we need to continue to live our life like we will stand before you someday, knowing that that is a true fact. And God, I just pray as we go beyond this and continue to study through as Paul brings a praise to them, and Father, that we praise you also, as Paul did, in the mindset of depth of your riches, your wisdom, your grace. We cannot put a human mindset to that. And God, we just thank you. And may our lives lived here on earth be a way in which we say that. Thank you to you for what you've done for us. And God, we just thank you for so much, for all the things you do in us so that we may do anything for you. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. All righty. Appreciate that study tonight.